She didn't want him giving words to this tug she felt. She would not allow herself to feel anything for this stranger, or for any man other than Jason. She straightened her shoulders. "So I guess you're going to feed me some line like that gigolo did about my incredible beauty being irresistible, and wouldn't I like to go for a drive? Excuse me, please, I must go." He let her pass and then kept step with her.
"Shall I lie and call you plain?"
"Don't call me anything." "Now, how have I offended you?" She put one foot in front of the other, concentrating on the rough stones at her feet and not on him. She wouldn't think of that presence at her side, that very male, very tall, too appealing presence. "Well, you're right," he said, "but I did apologize for staring, and I won't be ungentlemanly enough to remind you that you have stared back at me a few times. We've waved, even smiled." "You didn't smile this time." "I should have." All she had to do was ignore him and get back to the convent. "As I said, I won't mention your stares." That stopped her.
"You just did.
Only so you could find it in your heart to forgive me." The noise she made wasn't at all complimentary or particularly feminine. She walked on. "No?" She increased her pace. He kept up with ease. Of course he did. "Not very generous of you," he said. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the grin spread. "You know," he began.
Did she know what? She wouldn't ask. She'd ignore him. Surely he'd go away.
"I had an excellent vantage point," his tone hinted at humor. "Even if I did stare, you should have seen your eyes laughing when you sent Adonis away." That brought her up short again. "Why did you call him that? Adonis, I mean?"
"That's what he looked like, wasn't it?
Straight out of the myth, every girl's dream?"
"Oh," she relaxed. "I must have said it aloud. Not that I heard."
"A coincidence, then." "Rena," he sighed with a flourish, an attractive flourish, she had to admit, because those eyes were doing their dancing thing again.
"You're going to be such fun to know."
She squinted at him. "Who said you're going to know me?
You're as bad as that Italian."
"But you're getting me off the track. I was telling you why I couldn't stop staring at you."
"I don't think I want to hear your reasons. It's been fun, but if you'll excuse me, I turn here. Good night."
"Good night. I'll see you in class tomorrow." She left him and spent the rest of the evening trying to concentrate on her journal and the book from Auntie Lou's, but that night, his blue eyes haunted her dreams. Inches from her face, they frightened her into running. They morphed into the dark, dangerous eyes of the gunman from the train. Laughter mocked her.
"You heard murder," a voice that wasn't his said.
She woke, tangled in the sheet. It took her a moment to remember where she was and to untangle not only her body, but also her thoughts. The dream had seemed so real, so immediate, and the memory of those noises on the train were horrific enough to stick with her into daylight. The American, Arab, now wanted friendship. Why? In spite of those quick hellos and waves, he hadn't sought her out or spoken at the cafe. What had changed? She didn't need him for English conversation, not now that she'd met AC, and friendship with him was out of the question, wasn't it? Jason would be horrified. She climbed from bed and headed over to her sink to douse cold water on her face. Drying it, she moved to the window to look out as the glow of dawn shifted to full daylight. A tremor of excitement began in her stomach as she picked up her hairbrush and pulled it through her long hair. The boundaries of her staid southern life had begun to shift. AC lived here, with a sister and a slew of Italian relatives. Maybe, just maybe, Rena would be able to meet some of those and stretch those boundaries even more as she learned to speak their language. And in spite of what she owed Jason, in spite of the ring he'd given her, which was safely back in Moorhead City, she hadn't yet crossed the threshold with an "I do." She still had time to enlarge her sphere of male acquaintances, didn't she? Yes. The large American intimidated her, his size, his easy smile. But he also intrigued her. And shouldn't she learn the art of easy conversation with other men before she promised to be solely Jason's forever?